2025 meeting of the Citizen Police Review Board to order. As we have done in the past, we're going to begin with introductions, although I thought this time we might, because we've got new members, and we, in a sense, haven't had great opportunities just to get to know who we are. Begin by, as we do our introductions, just explain not just what your position is, but what brought you to the board, perhaps what field you've been working in up till now, and things like that. So, Peyton, we'll start with you, and we'll just come around the table this way.
Hello, my name is Peyton Oliver. I'm the City Mansion Fellow. I have been with the board for about a year, maybe a little less. But as we're making it into work with this board, because they thought it would be a great opportunity for me, and I wholeheartedly agree. I think it's important that people have, like, a say in how their police department is run and, like, any complaints they might have.
My name is Earl Krause. I'm with the City Law Department, and I'm assigned this board, along with the Utilities Department and Sustainability and Sunshine Law and Boards and Commissions and other assorted things. Been with the city just under 3 years. I was with the state for many years before that in various agencies.
Yes. What is yours?
I'm Charles Ugg. I teach at Mizzou Political Science. I'm in the Truman School, and I'm happy to be here. This is very exciting.
Welcome. I'm Lynn Birkin. This is my third board meeting. I've been in Columbia now for 20 years. I love it here. My background is in finance and accounting, and I decided to join the board because I was looking for opportunities to volunteer. And I saw this, and then I signed up for it, not really knowing too much about it.
You are.
But that's how I do things, so.
Totally understand. Stephanie Coleman, board member. I have been here longer than anyone so far that's here today. I think Steven's the only other one that's been here longer than me. And it was a few months, so what are we, 3 or 4 years in? Not sure. Kind of runs together after a while. Prior law enforcement background, currently for the last 19 years I've been a teacher here in Columbia Public Schools, and I joined the board just because I want to make sure that we have good policing. That's important. So.
Doug Hunt, I'm a retired English professor from the university, administrator as well to some degree, and I've been interested in policing for some time, partly because I got interested in the sort of race and justice issues in town historically, which are kind of interesting going back very far. And then about 15 years ago, I went to the Citizens Police Academy and spent a little time actually getting a sample of the training that the police officers were given, but also just learning about the department. So that interested me. So when there was a board opening, I think it was back in March of 2023, I decided to apply, and that's how I got involved.
My name is Ed Robinson. I have approximately 30 plus years of law enforcement experience. I worked here at Columbia PD. I'm here because I think I give a different view of things police officers do.
My name's Harry Castillo. I've lived in Columbia about 50 years now. And what brought me to the board essentially is I like activism, and I thought this would kind of go hand in hand with what I believe in. And again, trying to make sure that we have a good police force that's works with the public and is cooperative and can be trusted and feel trusted.
My name is Steph Yoakum. I am the Human Rights Commission liaison to this board, so I did not actually apply to be on this board, but I do consider it an honor. My day job and my passion is I run a small free medical clinic, and I do some homeless outreach, and I, before that, was in the insurance industry, underwriting and brokering. I've been doing homeless outreach and, like, food activism, though, for a long time.
That was Good and interesting. Next item is approval. Oh, I'm sorry, Richard. You're so far down there. I didn't even. Hey, see you.
All right.
Unintentional.
Yeah. I'm Richard Harrell. I'm assistant chief with the Columbia Police Department, and I'm over the Professional Standards Bureau.
Good. Thank you. All right. All properly introduced.
Shame on you.
Shame on me. Next item on the agenda is approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion to approve the agenda as written?
I'll make a motion.
I'll second. Coleman.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the agenda. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? You should all have had an opportunity to look at the meeting. We only had an open session last month, so we don't have closed session minutes. We have merely the open session minutes to approve. I think everybody's had a chance to look at them. So do I have a motion to approve the draft open session minutes from the October 8th meeting?
So moved.
I'll make a second.
Moved and seconded to approve the minutes of the last meeting. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? All right. Old business item, we turn to Earl, who's going to be talking to us about the annual report, which I think is, we're getting toward the end of the year, so it's time to think about it, yeah?
Yes, that's right. And I'm talking about it because Stephanie is out of town, so I'm trying to do my best to stand in her shoes at the moment. She gave me a draft of the annual report, which follows and mirrors prior reports. It looks like she did get some information from you guys, or some of the members here, because there is a section about additional board member activities, and there's things filled in that Stephanie did, and Denise, and Ed, and Xavier, and Mari, and Harry, and Doug, Steph again. So there's been a number of things in here. I can read through those real quick. It's not real long. And then I'd like for you to think about, or Stephanie asked me to ask you to think about, anything else that should go in this section to let her know so we can get it in the draft report that will then come back to the board in December for a review, maybe a final review if you're ready to do that. So that's where it's at. So these items include January 23rd, Stephanie Coleman gave presentations to two classes. January 29th, Stephanie Coleman gave a presentation to a class. March 18th, Denise, Ed, Xavier, and Steph toured the Boone County Joint Communications. March 19th, Mari, Harry, Stephanie, C, and Stephen toured the Boone County Joint Communications. Looks like Doug doesn't have a specific date, so we need that.
I'll find
it. As best we can.
Yeah, I'll find it.
Tour the Boone County Joint Communications. And then in October, Steph went to the NACOL conference. So think about that. And if there's other things that you're like, oh, well, I went on a ride-along, or other things maybe you did during this calendar year that you'd want us to include in there, then we can. Some of the other general things that you'll see in the report, of course, it talks about the members. There's a history section that kind of lays out some history there, an executive summary. There's a summary of appeals, which is pretty much numbers. It mentions to the extent you've reviewed complaints, which you have done a bit of that this year, at least that I'm aware of. And then board member activities we were just talking about. And then that's pretty much the full report. But I expect you'll see a draft of that in December, and then we'll see if we're ready to finalize or if we want to finalize in January when you're fully after the calendar year. And that's what I have on the annual report.
I had one question, which I maybe just testing my memory on this, Earl. I think that our obligation is to report by the end of March. I mean, no reason not to go ahead and get it done, but I think we are to file by the end of March. So if there's some continuing discussion of what to include in the report, there is some time, if that's the
case. That's okay.
Yeah. Thanks. I think, any questions about that? Under new business, discussion of the Missouri Roundtable on Community and Law Enforcement. Stephanie was actually our Stephanie Brown was our representative there, and might have been reporting on that. But I think I'm going to speak a little bit about it from reviewing it, and because I don't trust my aging brain, I'm going to actually read what I think some of you may have read before. I sent a sort of draft of this. This will be a short, much shorter version, but here's my summary of what I saw. On October 16th, the Division of Civilian Oversight in St. Louis hosted a Missouri Roundtable on Community and Law Enforcement. Oversight boards from Ferguson, St. Louis, and Kansas City were present. Stephanie Brown was our representative at this roundtable and posted a link so we could view the session after the fact. Did anybody get a chance to actually look at it yet? Okay, good. Not good that we didn't get a chance, but I understand that because it's a lot to look at. Because I was unable to attend, I sent a rather long question for the panel on the CRPB's behalf. Here's the question. On September 3rd, 2024, the Columbia City Council revoked the Citizen Police Review Board's authority to review and make recommendations on police policies, procedures, and training, and its authority to host public meetings on those subjects. It also eliminated the board's authority to investigate allegations of misconduct, except those that fall into one of the four categories specified by the newly amended section 590.653 of the revised statutes of Missouri. The board can no longer, for instance, investigate complaints of racially biased policing. Are the oversight boards in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Ferguson operating under similar restrictions? Representatives of the Kansas City and Ferguson boards reported that none of their duties or powers had been altered in any way by the changes to state law. Kansas City's representative made it clear that they are free to investigate everything except officer-involved shootings and other allegations that could lead to prosecution of officers. Ferguson's response was quite direct. We didn't change anything. Comments made during the session make it clear that the Ferguson and Kansas City boards still have the powers and duties the Columbia board was stripped of last year. They lead community feedback sessions, review a wide range of complaints, including bias policing, and make recommendations on police policies, practices, and training. The Ferguson and Kansas City boards have a more open relationship with the command staff of their police departments than Columbia does. In Kansas City, for instance, when the board sends a recommendation to the chief and the chief disagrees with it, the chief needs to explain in writing the basis of the disagreement. If the board can't accept the chief's reasoning, the chief and the board confer to try to reach common ground. In Columbia, we don't get that level of feedback. In Ferguson, the chief meets once a quarter with two or three members of the board just to discuss things and entrust this and increase the trust factor. These are off-the-record, informal meetings. Here in Columbia, the chief has made it clear that she is uncomfortable with the idea of having such off-the-record meetings. The Ferguson and Kansas City boards publish general summaries of each complaint and the way it was dealt with. The comments of the chair of the Kansas City board are particularly interesting. I'll pause to say there that I was surprised to learn during this roundtable that the Kansas City Oversight Board is 50 years old. It is the oldest in the nation and the most experienced. And the present head of that board has been the head of it for, I believe, 23 years. We're down the road from the Mecca, so to speak, in terms of knowledge of and that I had no idea that that was true. Anyway, the comments of the chair of the Kansas City Board are particularly interesting. We publish information on every complaint that is filed. Publish information on every complaint that is filed. However, we do not attach any names or identifiers with it. You can find that information on our website. And if you have enough details about the interaction between the citizen and law enforcement, you'll be able to recognize it. But again, we cannot by law put in any identifiers about the investigations there. That was interesting to me because I thought it could become a source of some conflict. one of the really interesting and delightful things that the chair of the Kansas City Board said is what a great relationship he has with the head of the Columbia Police Officers Association. They meet frequently, and he quotes, and I can't claim I'm quoting it directly, the head of the Police Officers Association say, you know, sometimes I really disagree what you guys have to say, but I will defend to the death your operation and your continuing to operate as you do. Pretty interesting. They apparently have, despite inherent tensions in this kind of work, they seem to have a good relationship. Our board used to publish summaries like that, but stopped doing so. And as I recall, it was because we got the advice that it was inconsistent with the level of confidentiality we're supposed to maintain. So I'll end my summary there, but I encourage any board members who have had a chance, who haven't had a chance to view it, and that seems most of us because we're all busy people, I really would think it would be worthwhile for you to take the time to do it. It's really interesting. I also think it would be a good idea to make it available to the general public. I don't know the best method to do that, maybe by attaching it to next month's agenda or something like that, because I think it is interesting to the general public. It was intended to be a public meeting. So that's what I saw, and I'll just pause right there and see if there are any comments or questions from any members of the board.
I'll go. So, and this relates to NACOL. I heard of many anecdotes of differing degrees of relationship and cooperation coming from other cities. They were far more communicative with their police chiefs. Using large examples from the coasts, but also many Midwest examples, Kalamazoo, Grand Rapids, Nashville. I'm sad that we're worried about that kind of relationship here. For what the police chief states is a worry that confidential information will be discussed, et cetera, et cetera. If other boards can be trusted to have this kind of dialogue regularly, I think that that would be helpful, but that's a part of a larger conversation.
Anybody else?
Yeah.
Ed?
Could we get a copy of their policy?
Yeah. It is available online and quite thoroughly available online. So I think you can get their policy. Now, I have not had time, Ed, to look at it in tremendous detail. I looked at their last annual report, but I don't know all their policies.
I would just like to get a copy of it and read it,
yeah,
and just see what possible.
Yeah, I will say because it's very pertinent to your question, Ed, that one of the and the head of the KC board does a great job at the beginning of talking about all the different ways that different boards might operate. He describes their model as a hybrid model. Mm-hmm. What that means as a practical matter is the complaints come to the board. There is an internal affairs investigation by the department. The board looks at this and expresses concerns and then turns it over to the department to do any discipline or anything like that. So they express their concerns, but they're not a disciplinary body directly. So it's a rather different setup. And for that reason, it would be really interesting to look at their. I mean, obviously, for them, it must work if they've been operating on these principles for so many years. Any other questions?
I guess I'm curious as to, I think we made the change here because we were under the impression that we were
proactively trying to be in line
with what state
ordinance
said, right? So it sounds like we're the only board that did that?
Yeah.
Is that that's the feeling that I'm getting?
I do not know the answer to that. I know I learned anecdotally, and I don't know that I would rely on I do trust the person who told me this, that he had attended a board meeting of the St. Louis County Oversight Board as opposed to the St. Louis City Oversight Board, and they had not made any changes. But the question of what the St. Louis Board is up to is really complicated at this point. They've had terrible years of conflict and stuff like that, and they now are under the, as I understand it, they're under the State Board of Police Commissioners. So they're having to redo everything. So they're essentially shut down. But it doesn't have to do with the particular law that we were running into. It has to do with other problems. So far as I know, I don't know of any other board that has made changes as a result of that state law. I don't know.
And that's what makes, for me, wasn't that state law? Didn't they come in and say, we weren't targeting Columbia, we were targeting St. Louis and Kansas City?
Well, they couldn't.
They certainly couldn't say that.
But
yes, in a roundabout way, that's what they were saying, that it was more for them than it was for us, but we're the only ones that made that change.
The only, and it's been a long time since I've looked at this, but the only objective evidence of that I can find, clearly nobody's going to say we're targeting.
For sure, not the word targeting.
But it turns out that a legislator who proposed the bill was from St. Louis and had expressed concerns about the St. Louis board. So there might be reason to think that the intention was to focus on the St. Louis board. But
it's just interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. And eventually you have to admit that you're over your head trying to do things. But clearly, I can't imagine, particularly in the case of the Kansas City and the Ferguson boards, that they don't have legal advisors and whatnot, and they didn't seem to feel that it was necessary to change their rules.
Well, I would say if they're operating the same way that they have and doing all of this stuff that we're told we can't and have not been prosecuted or penalized by the state, that we overstepped ourselves by penalizing ourselves is the feeling that I'm getting. And it's kind of frustrating,
yeah,
to tell you the truth.
I agree that it's frustrating, and a part of what I'm going to say goes beyond my knowledge, but I believe Kansas City may have a different ordinance the way that it's written, because they also have a staff budget written in more than just a liaison. They have an assistant who can help investigate on behalf, and
well,
many cities
yeah,
do.
And in fact, they're
staff.
Citizen oversight, no, citizen... It's a COC. I can't remember. It's the Citizen Oversight of Complaints or something like that board. And this fellow's been the chair of that board for so long, the head of that board so long. I think he's a paid employee, right? And so it's a much more
totally
sized
different.
Up operation.
Their model is completely different from ours. Ours is just a review.
Columbia Police Officers Association request to the CPRB. And boring as it is, I'm going to actually do some reading here, too, because I'm trying to be very careful about here is my introduction to our discussion of it. On October 27th, the attorney for the Columbia Police Officers Association sent a letter requesting that this board recommend the removal of a member who participated in an online discussion in which a Columbia police officer was accused of inappropriate behavior. The attorney's letter offers two arguments for the removal. First, that when a CPRB member publicly accuses an officer of misconduct, people might assume that the accusation is based on confidential information to which the board member had access. Second, that posting the comments violated the National Association of Civilian Oversight of Law Enforcement, that's NACOL, Code of Ethics, which the CPRB members are required to adhere to. The CPOA's request creates a delicate situation for the board, since public discussion of the dispute might damage the reputation of the officer involved or the board member or both. For that reason, I hope we can avoid naming names or giving other identifying information this evening. At this point, I'm going to give my personal view on how we should respond to the CPOA's request and then invite other board members to do the same. Okay, here's the way I see it. In the ordinance that govern our board, there is a sentence giving us authority to recommend the removal of a member. Here it is. The board may recommend to the City Council that a board member be removed from the board if the member persistently fails to perform the duties of office. In this case, the CPOA attorney has not accused the board member of a persistent failure to perform the duties of office. He has pointed to a single incident, and so our authority to act is blocked by the word persistent. In addition, it isn't clear that this incident amounted to a failure to do the duties of office. The duties of the board are specifically listed in Section 2149 of the ordinance. They all have to do with reviewing complaints, hearing appeals, and submitting annual reports. Nothing in the CPOA letter indicates a failure to participate in the execution of these duties. The CPOA's letter suggests that the social media post violated the Code of Ethics of NACOL, which members are obliged to follow. But the code offers only very general guidelines for board members. It says, for instance, that we are to, quote, pursue open, candid, and non-defensive dialogue with our stakeholders, and to, quote, educate and learn from the community. These are, as the preamble to the code makes clear, very general and aspirational guidelines. They are intended to express the spirit in which we will serve, not descriptions of particular actions that are required or forbidden. Using such aspirational guidelines to justify ejecting someone from the board is clearly problematic. Now, it may be that the city should modify our ordinances to include a more specific statement that board members are to refrain from publicly criticizing either police officers or citizens who complain about police officers. At this point, however, there is no such explicit statement. All things considered, it appears that the board would be exceeding its authority by recommending the removal of this member. Therefore, my inclination would be to take no official action on this matter at this time. And apologies for taking up so much time in reading, but I wanted to get that on the table, and then if there are comments, I'd be glad to hear them. If we're in agreement that there's not an action to be taken, there's not a reason to have a motion on the floor or anything like that. But I want to make sure that that everybody gets a chance to say something. All right.
So as to any kind of response to the association, do you want there to be any kind of response from the board to the association?
Can we?
I mean, I would use the exact verbiage that you used.
Is that agreeable to the board?
Yeah.
I will recuse myself from that decision.
Yes. Okay. That's fine. We'll just do that. And what I'm thinking is that makes sense because, in effect, by reading this out, it's in the public record anyhow, and we'll go ahead and send this response to the.
So kind of by affirmation, we'll send that as the response.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Right. That's very good. Okay. All right. On to Human Rights Commission report.
Hey, it's me. I have so much to cover, and I know we have a lot on our plate tonight, so I will skim much of it. I have spent the last month immersed in NACOL and then doing a little bit of other stuff, and then I reviewed the case this past week. A lot of the learning I did constantly focused on a desire not to have punitive powers, but a desire for continuous improvement. And a lot of the conversations I've had over the last month emphasize quality assurance and not punishment. Different cities that I spoke with had different budgets. I know we all approach our issues differently, especially here in mid-Missouri. But I do think that my intentions are not necessarily nefarious and never have been. The Human Rights Commission board itself is actually in the middle of changing some of its verbiage. We haven't actually been able to hear a case in a while. Right now it's defaulting to mediation. We haven't been able to hear a case in a couple of months. Right now it's defaulting to mediation. we will have an update to that ordinance hopefully by December. And most of what I have to say next goes into the NACOL report. Okay.
Can I ask a question just about the Human Rights Commission report then? When you say defaulting to mediation, so, and if a complaint comes to you and automatically it becomes a mediation issue, or?
So, there has been a process for complaints for a long time, the way that the ordinance was understood. And then, about 9 months ago, it was determined that the ordinance should be interpreted in a different way, and that before cases can come before us, they must be offered professional legal mediation. And we said, I don't actually think that's the spirit of the law. So we're going back and rewriting the ordinance so that it follows the spirit of what we have been doing.
Mm-hmm.
It is, I can't remember the ordinance number. It is something that is so trivial, and it is a sentence structure thing. But until then, again, we're erring on the side of caution.
So the Human Rights Commission is requesting that the city change that, make
yes.
that change, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. To put in place the verbiage of the process that we have been using for a long time. Yes. Right now, the way the present verbiage is written, complainants must first attempt to resolve that complaint through professional mediation before it comes to us. If it's filed through our board, it's a little confusing. We should rewrite it to go back to the way we were processing things, which I know this does sound very silly because it is.
Well, verbiage is important. I mean, the way
it
things
is,
are written is
and,
to be very, yeah.
Right. Instead of choosing to change our methods and our process, we did decide, let's go back and change that verbiage to properly reflect the correct process. Yes.
Any questions or comments on the Human Rights Commission report? If you're feeling you're now bleeding into NACOL, if you go on, is that right, Steph? All right, let's then do that. Let's go on to NACOL.
NACOL was incredible. Excellent use of the city's tax dollars. I'm sure they loved getting that letter at the same time. Again, the amount of people I interacted with and the amount of resources I had very easy access to was incredible. The independent police auditors and the independent police investigators, some cities had models that hired out to various third parties. There's this one guy, I really drank his Kool-Aid, IntegraSure, and it's this former NYPD officer who is now, again, coming from the insurance brokering and underwriting world. He was approaching misconduct not from a singular rule violation, but his whole process had a great emphasis on, let's look at the entire process. What went wrong where? Let's go back there. And it's not focused on discipline. And I will actually be forwarding a small training document he has. A couple of people have excellent training documents on good investigatory practices that I felt would be useful for us that I was going to forward on. I learned so much about the use of force and proportionality and how and when it should be applied and the threshold, okay, the determinations for each step. I learned all about restraints. I learned a lot about ICE. And the 287G agreements, these Department of Justice agreements. Philando Castile's mother spoke. It was very powerful. The current Minneapolis chief of police spoke. Again, there were a small handful of officers there who were active participants in this event. There were a handful of cities under federal mandates and state directives, and the common thread I saw was something terrible happened first, and I just hope that never happens anywhere else. Yeah. I think that's it. I want to send those few training documents that I found on good investigatory practices. This guy was really cool. I agreed with a lot of his values and principles and reasoning. And yeah, I thought it was a great use of my time.
Comment is I highly recommend for those that have not gone.
I think we should all go once.
It was a great experience.
It's so much to learn. Even if we are one of the smaller ones, we are not the smallest. We may be one of the weakest. But there are smaller cities. Some of those smaller cities are adjacent to larger metro areas. Some of them are not. There were a variety of good intentions in there that were not all just activists. There were a lot of public civil servants. There were ombudsmen. Some people had really old city setups, and they had a longtime city employee who investigated on behalf of the citizens and the city. So, yeah. And, yes, I do think we should all go once. I was a little
sad. I will be freer at the next conference to go than I have been for family reasons. And
the one-day session, the pre-one, the $150 bonus, which I'm like, I don't know why this isn't a part of it. Yes, it's critical, too.
Huh. I'm
like, why is this the bonus day? Why just not make it a part? Okay. It was very important.
Thank you. General comments by a member of the public. Kennedy, you're probably not going to make a comment, are you? Okay. general comments by members and staff. Any members that would like to make a comment at this point? Let us see continuous improvement. I will make a comment, and then I will look at my colleagues on the board about this. It came up last time, whether we have now reached the point where we really should go back to the city council, and I think the parliamentarians would say a motion to rescind that September 3rd, 2024, to restore us to where we were. I'm not sure, and this is very pertinent to what you're saying, yet. I'm not sure where we were was perfect anyhow. We might want to look at other models at some point. But I think a first step could be to go back to the city council and ask for them to reconsider. That's not technically, it's rescind the motion that they did September 3rd. Now, as it turns out, and this is why I'm looking at everybody as I talk, we have limited powers on this board, and one of our powers is not to make recommendations to the city council. Nonetheless, it's true that we're in a public meeting here, and we are talking about whether this seems like a good idea. And so I think it would be possible, if it's clear that members of the board think it's a good idea, that we could go ahead and do so and perhaps even put in our annual report that we think it would be a good idea to powers. So this is not a question of a motion that can be put on the floor or anything like that. I just wanted to bring it up and see if we seem to be in the same place with regard to feeling that we need to go back to the council and ask for the change. And having said that, I'll give other people a chance to talk.
What was the initially process that we had?
I think the main things, Ed, are that it didn't change the process by which complaints were heard substantially. There's always a complaint that gets first investigated by the department, and then the complainant, if unhappy, can appeal to the board. That was fixed. It used to be that the complainant, you know, under the rules that we're going by now, the complaint has to fall into one of these specific categories, or else they can't appeal. In the former days, anything that was seemed to be a violation of police policy or procedure could be complained about, and if the complainant wasn't happy with the resolution, they could appeal to the board, right? So, for instance, to take an example that I think about a lot, searches and seizures, right? Searches and seizures aren't one of the four things on the list, but if somebody feels that their house has been inappropriately gone into, or they've been inappropriately detained or something like that. Right now, it's not one of the four categories, so it can't be set up for appeal unless we have a very broad interpretation of one of those things, which is abuse of authority. We could decide that all those things are abuse of authority, but that seems kind of an odd way to operate. So one is just the narrowing. The other one is, which I think could be pretty important, hosting public meetings to discuss police policies and procedures. So we would have meetings and we'd say, let's talk about handcuffing policy, and let's invite people to come in and talk about it and stuff like that. Let's,
give input, yeah.
Yeah, give input and stuff like that. And that was, that a power to host public meetings to discuss police matters in a sort of back and forth way was removed as well.
And suggestions to policies.
Oh, that's right. That's very important. I'm sorry. Yeah. We used to be recommendations on policy used to be one of our duties, and now that's been taken away from us too. So those are the main things. That I know that was not a very coherent answer, but those were the main items.
Yeah. Community outreach was one of the things.
So how far would you want to go as far as you don't want to get yourself overworked, per se. Mm-hmm. I think you have to have, if you're going to do it, you're going to have to trim it down to what possibly is the most complaints that they get or something like that.
Yeah, well, again, what the initial model didn't have us, as the Kansas City model does have, it doesn't have the board looking at all complaints. It's only the ones that are appealed. And so in a typical year, and people whose memory are better than I and been on the board for a long time might refer my number. In a typical year, we might be looking at a dozen appeals or something like that. We're not talking about an overwhelming amount of work in that respect, right? And then we have that other, that's another thing that was technically taken away from us, so I think we found a workaround. We used to do what we called audits, and we can no longer use the word audit, but, you know, and you've been involved in those, where we look at a series of complaints that have come in on some area. Now we're not making an official recommendation to the chief necessarily or anything like that. We're just reviewing and making comments on what we saw when we looked at, say, the search and seizure complaints. But we can pace that at whatever pace we need to in relation to when we're hearing appeals and stuff like that. I think what it would add in terms of being time consuming is the amount of public facing things we're doing. You know, you might, for instance, aspire to do a quarterly meeting, open session hosted on some topic, and having to do with police policy and procedure, and you have to get ready to do that and, you know, up another evening and stuff like that. But I don't think our old way of operating, and actually you're in a better position to know than I am, I don't think it was overwhelming the amount of work that the board had to do.
More to say on it, but no, it wasn't bad at all.
I would propose my fully spinning NACOL wheels and what happened last year to us and Ed's questions and say, I think it would be a great idea if early next year after the holiday season, we were to have a small work group or committee. And before we go to City Council, we maybe look at if we were to rescind it, and then is there anything else we should be looking at just to create best policy before we make that change?
There's a question for Earl. I don't think we can do that until we have a change back to our previous ordinances, right?
Well, and that goes to your point earlier about adding something to the annual report, is the board clearly has as its duty to submit an annual report. What you put in the annual report is up to you. And so is that a method by which you could communicate concerns or requests or something like that? It probably is. That's very different than the board itself or assigning a subgroup of some kind to have a meeting and have it staffed and do things that maybe aren't directly within your duties, you know, are you getting outside of your authority? But the annual report is within your authority, and that's a vehicle you can use.
And again, I think we're in the awkward situation of can you put official motions, but what I'm thinking, Steph, it might be a possibility here, is if the annual report were to say that in light of what we're learning from NACO, in light of what we're learning from the roundtable and things like that, it would be really a healthy thing for us to wholeheartedly look at whether there are other models that should be considered. But in the meantime, could we, you know, go back to where we were? That's kind of what I'm thinking, because I think that's a more reasonable request to the city council. It doesn't ask them to. It would take a lot of study for the city council to figure out what to do.
You're good. The work group, the subcommittee, was simply to do that quick run over of the other models. And no, I don't think we should be making any other large changes. If we want to do it in two steps and have them first rescind that, yes, I think we should consider it.
A more persuasive way to do it, where we kind of just squeeze in some of these things that we want, as opposed to saying we don't like what you did and we want to change it.
A good question, and I guess what I would say about that is, when this changed last year, it went before the city council on the day that the city council voted. I did offer a comment. We sent in something as a board to the city council. They didn't still have the power to do. And I talked to the city council at that meeting, asking them not to be hasty, that it wasn't clear that the law actually required us to do this. So could they table the motion until the next meeting? And the motion to table was defeated 5-4. Four of the nine members of the city council wanted to delay and think about it a little bit longer. So this wasn't a question of a huge, overwhelming vote on the part of the city council saying it's got to go this way. There was hesitation, and I will say, I think I say this because it's not, I don't think it's revealing a confidence. One of the people who voted against tabling the motion has since told me that's the biggest mistake I've made since I got on the city council. Now, city council has changes over time, so we're not necessarily dealing with exactly the same people. I'm not saying that, but I don't know that we would receive overwhelming opposition to this. I think there might be.
It's just when you say, I want to rescind your decision, it sounds very like,
I know. It's a
you messed up.
We might want to say, you might want to reconsider.
Yeah, appreciate your input, but we kind of feel like maybe we should go in this direction.
Yeah.
Might be a more approachable way.
The other thing that's very true, and we all should remember this, is the way city government works is you can always approach your council person and say, you know, this is what we've always got that right as individual citizens to do that.
If you are bored enough, you could go back to the old city council meetings, and there was low-level confusion that night on that conversation and that vote and stuff like that. And parts of that conversation weren't quite completed. It wasn't like a drastic, you know, overhaul of justice or anything, but there was some misunderstanding possibly. So I would agree that, yes, I feel if we were to hold that vote again, things may be different. In good faith, again, not trying to drastically overstep.
Okay. We have, it's one of the reasons I asked earlier, Earl, about the deadline on the report. We could look at some drafted language about that comment we want to put in, and we are, I think, authorized to approve the drafted language. So that would take care of it, I think.
And do we want to try to sneak in some suggestions to policy in the report? If that's something that we want to.
That's what I was going to say. Like, hey, let's wait. Let's take a breather. Let's not open that until next year. But that would be my preference. That's
just be like, hey, we're trying to help you out here on some policy
stuff. Heads up, we're
going to
be looking at this.
Yeah. I do think you don't want to overwhelm the council. I mean, sort of one step at a time might not be.
And whatever you're interested in including the annual report, I'd encourage you to communicate that to Stephanie because she's going to be relying on you guys to come up with that and so that she can put it in.
Okay, any other comments, general comments by members? General comments by staff?
I did have something, of course, you know, we're all aware of an issue with being able to see, view, hear, listen to materials regarding appeals that come before the board, which is why this time we tried to go back again to flash drives, but then have had issues with those. Nothing's perfect. We have had a discussion recently with Rick about maybe transitioning, or well, we're going to look into maybe transitioning from a dashboard approach, and certainly the flash drives, to as Axios type of access that members could have. We'll have to figure out how that might work, what's the contractual provisions that need to be done with that, if any. Try it out ourselves to make sure it shows you what we think you need to see and how it would work for you and it's user-friendly and that sort of thing. And nail down any issues with regard to accessing it outside of the city system, if that matters. You know, there may be hurdles there to address. Anyway, that's where we're at and looking at, and hopefully can come up with something better. As efficient as we would like. So,
right.
Is that diplomatic?
That's diplomatic. Good wording. Good wording.
Yeah. Other comments by staff? I think before we consider that motion to go into closed session, we need to clarify where we are on things because of the difficulty accessing the information. I've heard directly from Stephanie, and I sort of feel the same way. I would be reluctant to make a substantial finding on the has access to it. Now, there could be an argument to say, why would we go into closed session then? I think it is possible, and Earl agrees with me, I think, on this one, that it might be possible to go into closed session to make a determination about whether we have jurisdiction in this case.
Yes.
So I think I'm open to either one. The other just clarifying thing, and I'll again, try to make sure that I understand, because Earl, I think, has done the numbers, so to speak, about when the complaint was filed and when the extensions were filed. If we don't act on the complaint tonight, I guess, are we still okay to act on it in December, or does that require another extension?
Another extension would be needed. But if there is another extension, that would carry us through December beyond long enough to hopefully get it all done.
So we're in a situation, it seems to me, that we're going to be end up asking for an extension.
Yeah, because if we don't have a quorum of people that have accessed it, we can't discuss it. And I definitely did not access it.
And neither did I. I couldn't access it. So I haven't reviewed most of the material whatsoever.
Would it be a possibility? I don't know. I don't see that the complainant loses anything since we can't act realistically tonight. If what we do at this point is to ask the chief to ask for another extension, so we'll be equipped to handle it in December and later. If that procedurally makes sense, does that procedurally make sense to you?
Well, and the chief has a need to seek extensions until the process is over, because if you run out of time, the chief is the one that loses authority to act.
Oh, that's
she
right.
She doesn't want to do that.
That's
so
right.
She keeps the extensions going to the extent they're allowed under law to get through the whole process.
Do you think that we need a motion on the floor asking her to?
No, I don't think so. That's something that's just
their
normal
that, right.
business,
right.
And that's their role.
It seems a little superfluous to me to go in and have a discussion of jurisdiction and then leave and then...
Are Ed and I the only ones who were able to do it? And you, okay.
I mean,
Not you. Not you. Okay.
So we don't, wouldn't
so
have had
we
a quorum anyway.
So we don't have anything. Okay. Cool. I'm just curious.
Why don't we go with that? Why don't we just ask for an extension and figure that this is...
Plan on it for next meeting.
Yeah.
And I know several of you said you may be out for next meeting. Do we preemptively not have a quorum for December?
That's a good question.
That's a good question, because if you won't have a quorum for December, we should probably talk about a special meeting date.
Right.
So you can take this case up and hear it before the time for the second extension runs out.
Yeah. When's the December date? I shouldn't have any issues.
I should be here.
Yeah, I'll be here. Going one.
One.
There's three of us.
Somebody can get sick.
Four. Three. Four. Five. Five.
I'm sorry. What's the question?
December. Will you be able to attend the December 10th meeting?
Yes. I'm pretty sure I can do that.
Denise
but,
should be back. Did she say she'd be back?
I think she said
December.
She would not be back in December.
Yeah. Not till. Okay. Not till the first.
That day. Too. That's why. And then I don't know where Stephen is.
Do December 10th, but.
It appears that we'll have a quorum, so let's assume that that's our course of action. If something happens in your family or whatever where you're not going to be able to make the meeting, let us know. Let the staff know.
Let Peyton know.
And we might be able to plead for enough time and set up a special meeting date.
Yeah. Especially if we know that more people were able to view that stuff.
Right.
It's long.
We know what those materials are. Those haven't changed. We can go ahead and revamp and get you.
Right.
Flash drives. I mean, we're not going to have the Axios thing figured out by December.
No.
But we could get you flash drives that are full of the materials that apply to this appeal that we've looked at that do play sound and video. Have time to contact us and say, well, I know you had sound and video, but I have video and no sound. What do we do? And
so let's get together for lunch, right? Yeah.
Right. Well, another suggestion was made that, not that you want to do this, but two, that's not very convenient.
No, not for those of us that work until the city's closed.
Right. It's not convenient for anybody.
I wouldn't mind doing that. Is it inconvenient for you to be for me sitting there?
No. If you wanted to do that. Yeah. Yeah, we could set you up. And
I was struggling to get here
to
get the thumb.
And everything's going to work. And yeah, we could do that.
I think that sounds like we've got a resolution there. And I assuming, unless somebody wants to make a motion to go into closed session,
I have a question.
Yes.
In terms of the items that we get in the drive, how do we know in advance that we've gotten everything? Because, like, I didn't have, like, an itemized list that I could go through. I just had a bunch of stuff.
You sit and there and you write down what you saw.
I look for the report, the full report first. I look for the officers' names who were mentioned, and I'm like, okay, so do I have those? Do I have their body-worn cameras?
Okay.
Do I have their NOIs, their NOFs for each name?
PDFs, I do think that's a very sensible approach. Start with
PDFs,
the IA
report. Yeah.
Pictures and video.
Well, I start with
and
the complaint.
And then one audio.
Yeah.
I want to know what the complaint is before
I definitely read. I read before I watch anything, but I know everything.
And I watch before I read anything.
Like, it's so interesting.
That's your experience.
I am visual. I don't like to read 20-page reports first.
I read.
So I like to see it, and then I go in and say, oh, yeah, that's what happened.
So the issue on this, just so I'm clear, the issue on this was some of the drives didn't contain whole pieces, or they contained it, but those pieces didn't play or didn't work.
All of
both.
The above. Mine
the
didn't
above.
Have any.
Different people had different problems. Yeah. Okay. Different people had different problems.
Mine had all the files, and I took Harry's and plugged it right in, and it was missing half of them. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We were talking earlier about, you know, we used flash drives this time because the video wasn't all on the dashboard, which is what we call it, which is a system you sign on to look at all this stuff. But all the videos weren't on there, so that wasn't going to work. And so
why Why aren't videos on there?
When they're long, it doesn't work well. You know, and this one had a bunch of videos, many hours long.
Very long.
And they just don't work very well. You get loaded, maybe they don't open, and of course we don't want you to download it and open it, so.
A lot of complications.
The system. While we'll march through. So is that all okay, Charles? We got pretty much.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if there's an issue where we didn't know individually what was supposed to be on our drive, so we might show up.
It's
with some of us
curve.
Not having yeah. seen so it and not having even known that we were supposed right. to see, and then we wouldn't have a quorum.
Have you both had any of the official training? Even know what you're looking for, and so we need to have.
Yeah,
I didn't know there was such training.
We
there is and isn't.
as I understand,
not really.
Charles, what's going on here? You know, you and I just had one little
yes.
talk about things. I believe Stephanie said that she would try to organize a sort of proper onboarding. Stephanie
yeah.
Brown.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So there is a plan to do that.
Sounds
so,
good.
Yeah. Yeah.
For you and Lynn. That can be as broad or narrow as you.
Because that'll go into what we're talking about. Do we have jurisdictional, you know,
right.
review? Did the timelines, I mean, you
I
don't
no
know
what
you
that
don't
meant.
Know.
Yeah.
Exactly. You don't know what you
exactly,
don't.
Yeah.
And I sat there for a while. I mean, I was one of several of us all at one time, so we had days worth of training. It's like, oh, okay, well, this is making sense. So I can see how that would be a problem.
The only thing that helped me was that right when I joined, we were dividing into our subgroups to divide up cases for review. So I had just two people I could ask all of my dumb questions to. And then
not dumb at all.
But yes,
yeah, and that's
yes,
why we
exactly.
did it. That
yes.
was why one of
yeah.
the reasons that we did that is so that an experienced person could work with people that hadn't done it before. And then, you know, it was training in itself.
Good point. I think it would be sweet in some ways if we could that process and be doing a review with Lynn and Charles, but mm-hmm. it always happens that an appeal has to take priority, and so we have to focus on this appeal for
right.
now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we'll get caught up, but
yeah. All right. Unless somebody else has other things that need to be discussed, I think we can have a motion. Oops, okay. I should look, make sure there's not something hiding. Okay. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I'll second.
That beats the truth, right? All right. Moved and seconded to adjourn, and this requires a roll call vote, I believe. No, it doesn't. Okay, good. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
If we were going into closed, it'd be a roll call vote.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what
I
you usually
just, yeah,
do.
Yeah, spaced off there. Right.